It's with my great honor and pleasure to introduce our guest speaker, Canadian Forces Public Relations Officer, Major Lena Angell. So she started her career in the military quite early with the Army Cadets Program, and then in 98 she enrolled in the regular office training program at the Royal Military College in Kingston, where she studied and got her graduate with a BA in business in 2001. And more recently, she obtained her master's degree in communications, media, and public relations from the University of Leicester in the United Kingdom. With respect to her military career, after her graduation in 2001, she spent a year as a tank troop leader for the Royal Canadian Dragoons before transferring to become a public affairs officer in 2002. To date, she's been stationed in Petawawa, Gagetown, Edmonton, Wainwright, and her current posting in Toronto. In Canada, she's done a lot of work with the local media, coordinating communications for the military's domestic operations, including the Southern Alberta and Winnipeg floods, and her current posting at National Defense Public Affairs Office for the Ontario region. The Major is also deployed overseas on Operation Athena in Afghanistan, and as well Operation Provision in Lebanon and Jordan, to which she will speak about her experiences with us tonight. So without further delay, I'd like to warmly welcome the Major and turn it over to her. So thank you very much for coming.
Thank you, David. Thank you very much for the warm introduction. And I really appreciate the opportunity to be here this evening to share with you my experience. Thank you, Julie. It's really nice to see you again. So I'll just start off with saying that the operation, Operation Provision, Canada's largest humanitarian assistance operation, was my first experience working truly in a whole-of-government environment. So it was a very incredible experience for me, because I got a lot out of it. I learned an extreme amount. So without any further ado, let's get right into it. Next slide, please. So briefly, what I'd like to talk about today, just bring everybody up to speed on the mission, talk about the public affairs approach, a little bit about social media, then traditional broadcast media, print media, and some of the lessons that I learned that I'd like to share with you. So let's talk about where we are, the context. Syria, 5 years of civil warfare started in 2011, the result of which 6 million refugees, 4 million which are registered with UNHCR, United Nations High Commission for Refugees. And if we break that up, where the registered refugees are residing, about 2.5 million in Turkey, the largest host of refugees, spending approximately, up to date now, depending on the figures, 8 billion euros to support that number of people. Lebanon, about half that, 1.2 million. And Jordan, 630,000. Again, those are just the registered numbers. And the unregistered estimate is at 6 million. So an incredible amount of people. What does that really mean on the ground? In Lebanon, if you look at a population of 4.5 million people, you throw on top of that 1.2 registered refugees, roughly 1 out of 5, and probably more like 1 out of 4, are refugees. And my experience there, when I walk the streets, you see them. You see them everywhere. It's very prominent. So what was the Canadian Armed Forces mission? Very straightforward. Support. Support the government of Canada to resettle up to 25,000 refugees that are in Lebanon, Jordan, and Turkey to Canada by, there is an end date, 29th February, which is very fast approaching. Are we there yet in the Globe and Mail today? Pretty close. Pretty close. Five phases. There's five military we love our phases. Makes things simple. We know where we're going. Five phases of this operation. I will speak to the first three because really that's what the Canadian Armed Forces members were involved in overseas. So those three phases that I'll speak to specifically is the identification of refugees, processing overseas, and the transport to Canada. Phase four and five, it's not that we're not involved. That's the Canadian part here. I just don't have experience in that, so I won't be able to speak to it. So let's go into depth a little bit more about phases one, two, three. What did we actually do? What did we actually accomplish? How do we actually support? Phases one, two, three, we had about, at the peak, 240 military personnel. This is altogether, collectively, I'm speaking Lebanon, Jordan, and Turkey. And what did we do? Mostly, I would summarize it as providing command, control, and liaison, medical examinations, that was a prerequisite before any refugee was given access to Canada, biometrics, so we're talking fingerprints, eye scans. In addition, we did a lot of data entry. It's actually a lot of infantry guys which were doing data entry, trained on a new system, and went off and did a lot of punching keys. And they did a great job and showed the flexibility and agility of soldiers to be able to jump in and do a unique mission like that. And airlift, the first two flights out of Jordan and Lebanon were Canadian Armed Forces Polaris. So it is the largest Canadian humanitarian mission, and by I'm qualifying that by on land here on how many refugees we actually brought to Canada. When I say Lebanon, Jordan, and Turkey, those five components that I just described of what we accomplished, that was in Lebanon and Jordan. In Turkey, it was a liaison component only. We never provided medical examinations, biometrics, etc. That's just not where we provided that level of support, both Jordan and Lebanon. And I will speak, when I'm talking specifically here, my experience was exclusively in Lebanon out of Beirut. But in my role as the senior public affairs officer on the ground, I managed a team in Lebanon, but also oversaw the operations of the public affairs team in Jordan. So who was all there? We're talking about the whole of government partners who participated. I've got about eight on the slide here. We were one of eight that I interacted with. So the lead was, and continues to be, Immigration, Refugees, and Citizenship Canada, IRCC, the new name. They were the lead. So VND, just like other departments, supported the lead. So switching to public affairs specifically, talked about the context, the mission, what did my team do? What were we responsible for? Well, after following a national announcement, we had an active approach, which means we didn't wait for media to come to ask for us questions. We had a proactive mandate to go out there, go forward, and communicate the operation to the Canadian public. Again, in support, very much in support of IRCC. And I stress that in support, because in communications, it's extremely important who's leading. If you're not leading, then you're synchronizing. And that's really the message that I want to pass along here. That was a very important, and throughout, that's what led the operations in terms of my piece here, is making sure that whatever action we took as a department, it was well coordinated with all the other departments. So here's my team. Not a big team, small team, but two teams, each consisting of a photographer, videographer, and a public affairs officer. And we were stationed again in Beirut, and the other team in the capital in Jordan. My team specifically, and the Jordan team, we spent 2 months, exactly 2 months. The operation was a little bit outside those dates. You had the command liaison team that came in a little bit early. And we still have, it's important to note, about 20 Canadian Forces members in Lebanon providing support, mostly on the data entry side of the house. So it's not over for us in that location. There's a small component that is remaining. So the public affairs function, we're going to break it down a little bit more. What exactly did we do? What exactly did we produce? How did we do it? Because I had a phenomenal team with me, with a photog and a videographer, a lot of what we did was produce broadcast quality videos and photos. For what purpose? Purpose number one is to share with mainstream media. And obviously number two is for our own purposes, to use on our own sites, whether that be social media, internet sites, articles, etc. So dual purpose. Wrote a number of articles, facilitated a number of interviews, supported visits. Again, all this in coordination with all of the departments and synchronizing messaging. And why is it so important that we synchronize the messaging? Really, it's just to avoid confusion. It's a complex operation. That's really, everyone says, well, why are you always so worried about synchronizing? Because it's complicated, and when you have, I mentioned eight departments, so throw on top of that all the other non-federal departments that are participating, charities, all the other organizations that you can possibly imagine in this operation. If we're not coordinating, it becomes extremely difficult for the average citizen to understand what's going on. So that's why it was such a critical piece. A few examples of what are these messages that we're trying to coordinate? What are we showing? How are we communicating? And this is just an example. Our message as Canadian Armed Forces in a support role is saying, we're ready. We're prepared to assist. And in what way? How are we ready? What are we experts in? Planning and coordination. That's kind of what the military does and what it's really good at. So that's what we offer. And this isn't our first time supporting a humanitarian assistance mission. We have experience in that, so that strong, proud history is there. Obviously, we're not experts in humanitarian assistance missions, but we have the agility, training, flexibility that we can adapt and do that. We're always, when conducting communications, making it clear that this is not a D&D-led operation, that it is a support role, for the very reason that it's important to be clear on who is the lead and what everybody's roles are. And taking care of our personnel, and I mentioned it not just in terms of taking care of Canadian Forces members deployed overseas as a force protection measure, what are we doing to protect ourselves on the ground? Lebanon, it's obviously like in any operation, there's security measures that need to be taken into consideration, but also taking care of our personnel back home. If you recall, some of the media reporting that's out there really has to do with where are we going to house refugees and the possibility that military bases are being used. So that taking care of our own messaging, very important throughout both deployed and here in Canada. So let's talk a little bit about stats on what was actually produced in the 2 months that we were there. For the videos, collectively between the both teams, about 110 videos. But there's different types that we do, different purposes of these videos. So a B-roll, anybody knows what that is, maybe not. B-roll, you're looking at about 45 seconds, maybe 2 minutes, and it's video, generally no interviews, no talking. You're showing a story, much like pictures, but now it's video. So we would, for example, show a B-roll of a settlement, refugee settlement camp, or we would show a B-roll of refugees going through the processing center, or refugees going through security at the airport. So it shows the story without stopping and actually doing that interview. Why do you do B-roll? It's a product you would share with broadcast media, and they incorporate it into their evening news. They can layer music on top of that. They can do whatever they like with it. Interviews, we conducted 11 interviews with the whole of government partners in a production of a mini documentary that my team and I are built working part-time behind the scenes trying to put that out on YouTube, because we thought it was a really interesting story to tell. What does this mean when you work with other departments? And we don't do this very often. The last time we did it was 1999. So these lessons are very easily lost. So we're working on a documentary to kind of grab all that, all those interviews, everybody's piece. How was it for you working with D&D and Canadian Border Service Agency? What was your relationship with us? It was very interesting to hear everybody's sides and what that meant, because we all kind of had the same experience, just from a different perspective. The interviews were also incorporated in the number of articles, quotes, 9 soldier profiles. These are really important because it's a human story. Humanitarian mission is a human story. Whether it's the people that are affected or the people that provide the support, it's a human interest story. So you have to tell the human side of it. So from a Canadian Forces side of the house, we do this well, I think, with providing soldier profiles or Canadian Forces member profiles. I say soldiers, but I really mean members, because we certainly had all the elements represented on this deployment. So soldier profiles, and I'll show a couple of examples of what we did, I think are really interesting because it shows you that personal level, what's going on. A number of tour videos that we did just to recap everything, those were very, very popular. And Christmas messages, it just so happened that the tour went over Christmas. Humongous hits, CTV especially, was very interested in them. On the photo side, collectively, we produced over 220 photos. Hometowners, I'll explain those a little bit later what they are, but we're targeting local media with that. Interviews, I did 6 on my end, 3 with the commander, and again, a number of articles. So that's kind of what we produce, which maybe is a lot, maybe it isn't, but it kept us busy for 2 months.